This is the 5, a WMC Action News 5 Sports podcast. I'm your host, Sudu Upadeya, joined alongside by my good friend, and we established last week, eventual best man at my wedding, Chip Williams. And we're also joined by a special guest today, ladies and gentlemen. All I want to say is, get ready for the train.
Former Memphis Tiger, former Memphis Choo-choo. Hustle, former Virginia Choo-choo. Cavalier, former Briarcrest Christian School standout.
That's right.
My buddy, our friend, Austin Nichols. Austin, what's up, man?
Hey, how we doing? Thanks for having me.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on. We've talked about you coming on to a podcast that Chip and I were going to create for probably like 3 months now. And today, August 15th, 2018, it's finally happening.
It's here, man.
Yeah, we're super excited to have you on, dude. How have things been? How have you been recently?
I've been pretty good. This past season was, it was pretty fun. Coach Sip is just hilarious. So he really helped me out through the season and whatnot. But I had a lot of fun, and yeah, I'm still glad I'm home though.
yeah, we're happy to have you here, man. Coach Sip, your guy. Has moved on. He's moved on to Texas Tech. He's, he's Coach Sip. It seems like this man is coached everywhere. He's got friends all over the place in basketball. What do people like about that guy? Because it seems like anybody you talk to that's ever coached with him, played with him, done anything with him, they love the man.
Yeah, well, he's a great coach, but more importantly, I think he's more like a people person, man. Like he's really good with people. He's a really good person. He's a good man. And I think he just kind of, has people like move towards him just because of his personality and everything. So I think that's a major point.
Yeah, you obviously we're talking about Glenn Ciprian, the previous head coach for the Memphis Hustle, who Austin played for, the NBA G League team for the Memphis Grizzlies. And Austin, it's crazy because just even talking about Sip and how much he helped you this past season, you were out of basketball for like 2 years, man, and you came back last season for the first time for this new franchise in South Haven, the Memphis Hustle. And man, you look at your stats, and my guy Chip, the stats man, will tell you, man, it's pretty impressive that after 2 years of just not playing basketball, you were able to do what you did in the G League last year.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think I was coming back, of course, like you said, it was my first year, and I was just focused on getting the engine rolling again a little bit my first year.
Get the A train going, is that? Yeah, man.
And just that was my main focus the first year, of course. Just try to get, improve my game and all areas, of course, but also just a learning experience. It's my rookie year, so it was a pretty good overall year, I'd say.
You know, one thing, Austin, that people have really started to take notice of, I think, in Memphis, and it's something that's always been there, but I think it's really come to the forefront, is AAU basketball here in Memphis. I mean, Memphis per capita produces some of the best basketball players in the world, and you were obviously one of those guys. You came out, you were a highly talented guy. I know you played for Ernie Kuiper, though, who's really tight with Mike Miller, who's still doing his own thing. I know it's not under the M33M thing anymore. What is it about Ernie Kuiper that you were attracted to? Because, I mean, you look at some of the other guys, at the Memphis Magic, who were big. Of course, you have Penny Hardaway, who's now at the University of Memphis, Team Thad. I mean, there's a lot of really high-level AAU teams here in Memphis. So what was it for you that you said, hey, I like Ernie, I'm going to join with Ernie and Mike, and we're going to give this thing a run?
Yeah, man. The first thing I noticed about Ernie, it was one word, and it was about family. And even after I agreed to play with M33M in AAU, it was all about family. To this day, it's still about family. Like, he'll call me randomly and just say, just check in. That's just the type of guy he is. And I think that's the first thing that I really learned about Ernie was that. And the whole organization of M33M, now it's I think it's Hoop City, is a great organization. I saw where Watford and Wiseman were playing, and Kira Lewis. I think he was a 5-star. He was playing a couple weekends ago, but I didn't see any highlights from it. But I'd like to see.
Yeah, no, I know, Penny Hardaway has been credited with, this man kind of runs things, the AAU scene here in Memphis. He's done it the last few years. But there are other great teams. Did for a couple questions. One, were you ever recruited by Penny or any other AAU team to play with them? And if you were, why did you decide to stick with those guys? And who were some of the guys that maybe you played with that ended up maybe playing in college or whatever with M33M?
Well, your first question, I'm not really sure if I was really recruited by certain AAU teams. I mean, I know I was to an extent, but I just found a niche. Well, I only played with M33 in my last year. So before that, I played for, I guess it was Bluff City Legends. But I never played under Penny. So I can't attest to, you know, that organization and whatnot. I'm sure it's great and everything. But as far as the M33M, I mean, I played with Scal. Nick Smith, he went to White Station. I played with Norse Fox, Andrew Fleming out of Nashville. I mean, the first tournament we had was in Little Rock, and we won the whole thing.
We talk about your AAU days. You're a Memphis guy. Before you came and started playing for the Hustle, you were with the Memphis Tigers. And obviously, you know, you left for a little bit, but obviously that love for Memphis still exists for you. So you mentioned M33M, you mentioned Penny Hardaway, man. Just from looking from afar now, just as a former player with the Tigers, what do you think of everything, man? Like, just the way everything transpired with after Pastner, who you played for, Tubby, and then obviously to get to Penny. Just what have your thoughts been from kind of afar?
I mean, I think it's the best thing that could have happened. I mean, he's the Penny is like the Memphis kid that, like, I mean, he's the king. I mean, you know, he's the king of Memphis, you know, him and, like, I guess, you know, Yo Gotti.
I was about to be like, I think Gotti would disagree.
But no, I think it's great, man. I think it's going to take, you know, maybe 2-3 years, something like that. It always does most of the time, 95% of the time. If you get a new head coach, it's going to take you a year or two. But I think he's already establishing a level of talent here that you didn't necessarily see in the past couple of years, you know?
Absolutely. And
so I'm really excited for basketball, and I'm also really excited for football because my man Jackson Dillon, rocking the mullet, just got his 6th year.
Shout out to Fram Oil Filters.
Yeah, my man Jackson Dillon. You know, our boy Sudi, my co-host, he had a little viral tweet about that. You know, Barstool, everybody picked that one up. That was fun. I want to ask you about Josh Pastner in a second, but you've played for AAU coaches, you've played for college coaches, you've played now for professional coaches. How hard do you, in your opinion, is it going to be for Penny to go from coaching high school, being around an AAU organization, to now being the head coach of one of the premier college basketball brands in Memphis? I know that expectations are always going to remain high for Tiger basketball, and that's probably why Tubby Smith is not here, because he had a couple years, didn't meet the expectations. So I imagine that people are going to be a little more patient with Penny, you know, just the way the state of the program is. You can see he's building some stuff up. But from your experience, how different is it from coaching from his perspective at the AAU level, the high school level, and now making that jump to a significant college program?
Well, I think he – making the jump from AAU in high school to college for a coach that has never played college ball or never played professional would be maybe a little iffy. But knowing Penny went, you know, he's played all levels, at all levels, at the highest level. So he knows how, you know, to work these players out. And you know, I'm fairly positive he's got a good, you know, routine that he does. And what was the second question? Sorry about that.
Yeah, just I mean, you know, Penny's going to be able to surround himself with like some different assistant coaches that he's never had the opportunity to do with. He's got a former NBA coach of the year. I mean, you played for Josh Pastner at Memphis. How much does a head coach lean on his assistants? Because that's not something that a fan gets to see. We don't get to see the practice where the assistants are working with the guys. How much do you think Penny's going to kind of lean on his guys to help him transition, make that big jump?
I think any head coach at a Division I NCAA basketball head coach is going to always have to lean on somebody, you know, whoever it is, and lean on their assistants for, you know, when I was at Memphis, all the assistants did the scouts. Pastner didn't do it, but the assistants did. So during the game, if you were that coach and you had that scout, he would need to lean on you in certain situations because that coach would probably know a little more. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know why they did it, you know, but as far as that, I think, of course, Penny being a Memphis guy, he is going to have a great support system. So I think that'll be very important as well.
You mentioned Penny being a Memphis guy. I mean, you went to Memphis, so Pastner's recruiting pitch worked for you. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But can you imagine you, the five-star athlete that you were, all the excitement you had going on back then, and Penny Hardaway's in that mix? I mean, could you imagine, Austin? I mean, would you have almost committed on the spot, or would it have still been a tough decision, you think, with how much excitement you've seen in Memphis that Penny's brought?
I tell you what, man, I couldn't tell you what I would have done because I have never been in that situation, but it would be tough not to walk off the campus with you know, a verbal. Because the whole city, man, the whole city is like, turn to 180, and the season hasn't even started. What, I mean, he's got probably, what, three or four recruits like a month or two after he got the job, and he's still bringing recruits in. Like, I can't imagine what it's going to look like in 4 or 5 years if we can be patient as a city.
Yeah, man, I remember a long time ago when you were at Briarcrest and you were going through, you know, the recruiting process, and hey, everybody's high on Tennessee and everybody, you know, Austin's not going to go to Memphis. There's no way, it's not happening. And you ended up doing it. And I'll never forget, I was scrolling through Twitter one day and I see Austin Nichols and it says, I put on for my city. And I said, oh man, what is going on here? What happened? And I look and Austin's committed to Memphis, and like, that was important to you. Like, that was huge, I think, to you, right? Mm-hmm. To be there for your city. And now, like, you've got the guy who everyone is excited about. Speak to that just as a Memphian, because me and you and I, we've lived here our whole lives, man. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool. Like, just as a fan, how important is it for this city, for Tiger basketball, to be good?
I mean, Memphis as a whole is a basketball city. You know, if you're not good in basketball, I mean, you know, people don't really tend to go to events. If you're not good, they don't go to events. And if they don't go to events, the whole city's kind of in a rut, you know. So it's important for the basketball and football team to get back on track, the Grizzlies to get rolling. I know they're going to pick it up here shortly, but as far as the, you know, the fans and everything, the whole city as a unit, it's always better in any city that their sporting teams are winning.
Yep.
Absolutely. And, you know, Chip mentions the excitement there was back in your time where, you know, everyone's saying, where's Austin going to go? Man, what was that final pitch like? What did Josh Pastner say to you? I mean, what was that final thing that made you say, all right, forget all the other schools, I'm putting on for my city?
You know what, man? He came to my house the night before I committed. It was after my official visit, my last official visit. And he was sitting in the living room and he said, you know, and this is what he said. He said, now, all these white businessmen, white CEOs, they want to, they're going to be playing through you, man. You're going to be you're going to be like the great white hope, the great white hope. And I was like, oh man, why'd you have to say that?
That's so hilarious.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell, man.
And that did it for you, huh? You were like, you're right, I have a responsibility.
yeah, pretty much. So
because you were kind of close to going to another school, right? Is it okay if I say that school? Okay, yeah. Tennessee, like what? I mean, because you, I know you told me one time, you said, you know, Tennessee, that's where I was going to go. I was mm-hmm. planning on signing with the University of Tennessee. Josh came and swung it at the last moment. And that was Konzo Martin, right? Yep. He was the coach then. What was the different pitches like between those two guys? Because honestly, those are two guys who've had a ton of success on the recruiting trail. What like ultimately did anything that Josh said ultimately sway you over what Konzo was pitching to you?
Not necessarily, but I would say Coach Pastner would, you know, swing more of a pitch as playing for my city. And then Coach Martin, of course, would come around and say, well, why you want to play for your city? Why can't you just play for your whole state? And it's just like, golly, man, I'm just getting torn by both ends of the state, you know. But overall, the whole recruiting process was great. There really wasn't much that they said differently. Of course, all the coaches, all the teams that I visited, they're going to, you know, want to do whatever you want to do. And, you know, to get you there, you know, to attract you there, you know. And so really, I mean, most of the coaches kind of, you know, were influencing on the same thing and you know, saying some of the same stuff. So, but it definitely was a fight, definitely in the end, for sure.
While we're on this topic, Austin, what is the funniest Josh Passer story you have? Something that that people are going to really love.
Oh, man. Well, if you don't know, he doesn't cuss at all. And if, you know, when you're coaching for University of Memphis, some of my teammates, I don't, you know, we're all used to cussing, I guess. We're men out there. We're playing against each other. So,
right.
You know, when you have a coach that's so furious, he's all up in your face, but doesn't cuss. It's just like, I don't know. It's like you can't really take him serious, you know. I mean, I love Josh. He was my coach. Nothing bad against him, but you really can't take anybody serious on that, you know, in that way on that stage, you know.
And it was pretty hard for Josh as is. I mean, everybody always said he had a baby face or this or that about him.
Yeah, and he had a flip phone. He might even still have his flip phone. I don't know.
Oh, you, man.
You played in some huge games during your time at Memphis. I mean, I remember the Louisville game was huge. That was a big win. You played in the Gonzaga game, too.
Yep.
Where Joe blocked Karnowski. Yep. That was incredible.
Yes, it was.
I mean, that was really one of the last few times the Forum was what it can be, you know, when it was really rocking. What is your favorite memory of Camp Iguan? What are your two or three maybe favorite memories of wearing a Tiger uniform and playing in front of the fans like that?
I tell you what, one of my proudest moments of playing in the Forum was actually that Gonzaga game. It was college game day. Mm-hmm. I broke my nose. I got elbowed and my nose started bleeding. And this is one of Josh Pastner moments. You know, I come back to the huddle, like, you know, wiping the blood, trying not holding tears back because it hurt, you know. But trying to wipe this blood off, and he comes up to me in my face and starts screaming at me. I couldn't tell you what he said, man. I really wasn't like I was hurting. But I think we were down for the majority of the game. I'm not really sure. And at the end, Joe Jackson has that infamous block, you know, on was it Karnowski?
Karnowski, yeah.
And we end up winning the game. It was awesome. It was great. I don't think I've ever seen the Forum pack like that for a Tigers game.
Yeah. Now that was incredible. And the same year, right? You beat Louisville, who won the national championship.
Yep. Yep.
And that was billed up as the Chris Jones versus Joe Jackson, mm-hmm. two top point guards in the city. Yep. Did they actually hate each other?
I don't know. I can't really talk on that because I don't know both sides of the story, but from what I hear, their rivalry is pretty, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, everyone made it seem like they didn't like it, you know, yeah. But it's, yeah, you know, yeah. Sometimes we like to sensationalize mm-hmm. things a little bit. So, you know, I never know. Maybe they're best friends off the court for all I know. But that was a great game, too. You ended up taking down the national champions in Louisville. I remember the big thing was Luke Hancock was one of their best players. I think he won most outstanding player of the Final Four. And I remember I was in the student section at the time. And everyone was chanting, "Luke wears cargos." And that was like the highlight. I don't know if you ever heard any of that, but it was great. No, it was that was fun, man. We need to get it back like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you think your top memory is beating Gonzaga, game day, Jay Billis, Jalen Rose, the whole crew's there?
I would say, yeah, that or the Louisville game. I mean, because those were – I say those, and they're just the two, like, when we had, like – the whole city was there. Mm-hmm. It seemed like the whole city was there and everything went our way and we end up winning and it was just like a perfect outcome and it was just great.
How great will it be if you ever see Memphis basketball at that level or even past that level for you? Like personally, you know, now as kind of a guy who's played there, the pride you're going to have if Memphis is back to packing the Forum and winning at a national level again.
Oh my gosh, how excited would I be? How excited would the city be? I mean, that's the most important question here, man. I'm going to be stoked. You know I'm going to be stoked. I mean, I live in Kyrville, born and raised in Memphis. I mean, come on. Like, it's going to be great, not only for, I mean, the program, but for the whole city, man.
Who, in your time at Memphis, who was the underrated funniest dude in the locker room? Because I know you're hilarious, man. I have no idea if people know this, but Austin's literally probably has one of the best personalities.
I've tried to convince this man to become a stand-up comedian / actor for the last 2 months.
Yes, he would kill it. My man is hilarious. So if someone makes you laugh, that means that they've really done
pretty
something.
Funny, yeah.
Who's underrated funny on the Tigers teams?
Oh, man. Michael Dixon was really funny. Joe Jackson was really, really quiet. But every once in a while, he'd say something, and I thought it was hilarious. But every once in a while, I would say something, and no one would laugh. And then I'd look over at Joe, and he'd be like kind of giggling. And I was like, yeah, Joe's my guy. He likes me. Yeah.
While we have Austin here, man, I wanted to ask you about these new NCAA basketball rules that the NCAA just passed.
Yes.
Obviously, it's gotten a lot of heat since it's been released. It seems like it was just kind of haphazardly thrown around as a response to the FBI investigation. And the one that intrigues me, and I think most people the most, is elite prospects, quote-unquote elite prospects, will now be able to have official relationships with agents approved by the NCAA, and those players will be deemed elite by the USA Basketball Association, apparently, who didn't even know they had that responsibility. So as a person who probably would have been considered an elite basketball player, considering you were a five-star, and probably would have had a chance to have a relationship with an agent in high school, what do you make of all this stuff?
I think they're just muddying the waters. I feel like, you know, I might be biased, but the NCAA is a multi-billion dollar industry. And, you know, that's all, you know, that's cool and all, but like, they're just muddying the waters. I mean, so what's the definition of elite?
Right.
What are you going to put 4 stars, 5 stars? What are you going to do here? And then what's the definition of a good agent or whatever you said?
Yeah. I mean, when I look at it, I think just let them all do it. I've always had the stance of there's no reason that these guys shouldn't be able to talk to agents. There's no reason these guys shouldn't be able to go get marketing deals if, you know, Chuck Hutton Toyota wants to pay Alex Lomax to be on a billboard for him. Who cares? You know, let these guys make what they're worth. And to your point, I mean, you look at some of the stars of the NBA. Paul George went to Fresno State. Kawhi Leonard went to San Diego State. I believe CJ McCollum went to Lehigh. Damian Lillard. These guys did not go to big-time programs and were not big-time recruits. But, I mean, I just named probably 4 of the top 20 NBA players. So, when you look at it, I'm sure there are guys that you played with that were not the highest recruits. DJ Stephens, I think, was a 0-star recruit and it ends up being one of the biggest stars at the University of Memphis. Has a really nice pro career going on right now, too. It doesn't seem fair, does it?
No, not at all. And a prime example of that is Cameron Payne. He went to Murray State. I don't even know if he was ranked in high school. He might have been ranked, but and then he just worked. He just worked at Murray State, and then lottery pick. I think Oak City, Oklahoma City, and now he's living pretty good. You do need to start paying players.
It's a total no brainer. I mean, I think me and Chip both agree with you that. And this issue has really come about when, you know, we've all been growing up. You know, we're all around the same age. And that wasn't a thing that was as expressed openly back in the day. You know, college football or college basketball, you went to a school to get an education to play. But that's not why kids go to school anymore. It's to play that sport. That's your entire life. You wake up at 4 a.m. and you do that. You don't have time for a job. You know what I mean? And I'm sure, Austin, you can comment on that. So, like,
oh, yeah.
You know, me, a kid in college, and Chip, a kid in college, we both did student media in college. That was on top of our classes, and we both got compensated for doing that. You know what I mean? So why can't an athlete be compensated for doing what they're going to do later in their career?
I think if a student athlete was in that position that you were in, that would be an NCAA violation. Why is that an NCAA violation to us when normal – I mean – That's just what it is. That's just real life. You get compensated, whatever.
Like, absolutely.
What is it against the NCAA?
Dude,
you know, that we're, you know, making a little extra on the side.
That makes complete sense. I know kids who went to school on 4-ride scholarships, completely similar to NCAA athletes, who didn't have to work, who got extra money from scholarships. But if they wanted to work, they could, and they could get paid. And if they got, let's say, the school gave them a backpack, you know what I mean? and you wanted to sell that backpack, that is not a violation. So why is it when a kid gets a pair of Jordans from the team and he sells them, his own shoes, why is that a violation? You know,
I think it's just all about control and money, man.
It's asinine, man. It makes no sense.
Multi-billion-dollar industry. The student athletes that actually bring all the profit to the universities and to the NCAA, they don't get anything. Like, you know, when I was at Memphis, they paid me $300 a month to live. I couldn't even cover my rent with that. I had to ask my parents for money every month. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, that
$300 is a joke to pay somebody who plays a college sport. I mean, that is just ridiculous.
You know, and you even take that a step further. What about the kids that, okay, hey, I'm a kid. I'm on a band scholarship. I make full tuition on my band scholarship, but I also, you know, DJ on the weekends, or I'm, you know, whatever. You can literally, if you are anything else at the University of Memphis or a university of anywhere, and you are not an athlete, you can do whatever you need to do to make money. I was a sports editor at the Daily Helmsman. They paid me at the University of Memphis for being the sports editor at the Daily Helmsman. I also had other media opportunities outside of that that also paid me. So I did schoolwork just like student athletes did. I worked, did something for the university just like student athletes did. Only difference was I made more as the sports editor of the Daily Helmsman than you did as a basketball player for the, and you think I didn't generate any money for the university. Yeah. You were generating millions probably.
Yeah, that's crazy. That, to put it in that aspect right there, that is, wow. They have to do something. I don't know what they'll do. And I'm kind of scared of what they could do, because they could just be putting more, you know, locks on everything. Yeah. You know, you can't be on a phone call for more than 37 seconds, or, you know, we're taking you downtown, you know, whatever. Right. It's like, what? Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's and kind of along that same line. Last year, you played in the G League, the newly named G League. I every time, it'll take me a couple more years to not want to call it the D League, and get used to calling it the G League. But you know, that's a league that I think people in the future foresee as possibly a farm system type deal, the way that MLB has it with the minors. They, you know, put their younger guys in there, let them develop, call them up, let them go back and forth whenever. And that's, you know, they're getting there. It's certainly not there yet. I want to ask you a couple questions, and Sudi will too. Just, what is it like being in the G League? Because I don't think, you know, people just hear it, they read a headline, oh, hey, this player's going to the G League. Mm-hmm. That's an afterthought. I don't even think about that. What is life like in the G League? Because I know you were living where I actually live now, Fielder Square. I believe the G League paid for that. Mm-hmm. But what is that like? What is like a daily routine as a G League player like?
Well, you know, like you said, we lived here and they paid for our rooms and stuff. But it's, you know, wake up, all you do is go to practice, and then that's it. You have treatment. If you get up an extra, you know, get an extra workout in, that's up to you. But literally your work day is, you know, maybe 3, maybe 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something that I had to get adjusted to as well. You know, time management's huge, you know? And I also want to comment on the, like you said, the first year Memphis Hustle, it was in, I think it was in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so much better for the organization as a whole, having their young guys, their developmental players, you know, right down the street. What is it? 15 minute drive to South Haven.
Yeah.
And I also want to see some more fans at the games, because it's a pretty nice arena. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty nice arena, man. So,
yeah. I know too, you know, people think, all right, this guy's a professional basketball player. These guys are flying on private jets. These guys are getting waited on hand and foot. They're staying at the Ritz-Carlton. They're, you know, they're living this lavish lifestyle. I imagine the G League may be a little bit different than that. What was life on the road like as a G Leaguer?
Actually, you know what, man? I was blessed enough to be able to fly to every one of my games except for Oklahoma City twice. We bust on one of those big buses. It's got like 3 stacks of beds that no one could fit in. And so that was great. I don't know, 6-7 hour drive on that and back. That was the worst part. I mean, we get to fly everywhere. The hotels, I mean, I wasn't complaining. I mean, I don't know what they were, Holiday Inn or something. I'm not sure, but I mean, they didn't have no butt bugs or nothing, so I wasn't complaining. Now meals and stuff, we had to provide our all of our meals. Every once in a while, if Sip was in a good mood, he'd help us out with some lunch or something. But it was a better process than I thought it would be. Okay. I will say that.
Okay, that's actually interesting. That's actually not what I expected you to say. Would you say that you traveled and were treated better, and not necessarily treated is the wrong word, but you know, your lifestyle, would you say it was better with the Memphis Hustle or the Memphis Tigers?
Memphis Tigers. I like the G League and everything, but my time at Memphis was awesome. I mean, I made friends off the court that I will have a relationship with for the rest of my life, mm-hmm. you know? So I would have to say Memphis Tigers, because we would do commercial. I mean, is it charter? Yeah. We were charter everywhere.
Yeah.
We maybe were in the airport once or twice, maybe, you know, my 2 years, but everything, I mean, you get meals, you get on the plane, you eat your meal, and then you go to sleep. I mean, it's great. So, I would say Memphis Tigers.
Yeah.
How cool is it that you got to actually do that in Memphis? It was almost like you had your little excursion away from Memphis for a little bit, but for the most part, your entire basketball career has been spent in Memphis, and it wasn't in Iowa. You know, do you ever imagine that? Like, if the Grizzlies would have never moved the franchise down here, you would have been in Iowa, which Iowa's, I'm sure, a great state, but, you know, it's not Memphis.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm blessed to have had the opportunity that I had last year to come back to Memphis and, you know, for my first professional season, you know, so, but yeah, like you said, the second part of your question, in Iowa, like this Christmas, we played Christmas morning in South Dakota against the Miami Heat's G League team.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty brutal. So I'm sure Iowa's, you know, similar.
Yeah. I remember hearing a story a long time ago. I think it was Zach Randolph. He was a rookie in the NBA. And I think he was asking Ruben Patterson when they got to go home for Christmas break, you know, because that's just something that I guess he was used to at Michigan State. You know, mm-hmm. they let the players go home and do whatever, but a little different and professional. And I think Ruben probably just laughed at Zach as a kid. You ain't going home anytime soon, you know?
Yeah.
Was that a little different at all? You just mentioned playing like right around Christmas. So I'm sure that was maybe a little different. Although I know that the Tigers, they played some, you know, Thanksgiving around that time, yeah. Christmas always around that time. But was that any different at all professionally from your collegiate days?
No, not really, man. Cause you pretty much said it. I mean, at Memphis, we'd get 2 or 3 days off for Christmas break, something like that. And most of the time we'd be playing on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of used to kind of, you know, missing some holidays here and there. I've never miss Christmas besides this past year, but then again, I think it just kind of rolls off your shoulder once, you know, you wake up Christmas and you're in, you know, negative 30 degree weather in South Dakota. I think you realize it pretty quick.
That's pretty awesome. Kind of switching into the big league, the NBA. Austin, obviously the Grizzlies, it's a complete rebuild this season. You have obviously Bickerstaff's here permanently. He was able to put together his own staff. You bring in a guy like Jaren Jackson Jr., Javon Carter, who we recently found out had a thumb injury. I mean, we'll play at some point this season. And then all the free agent moves that they've made, man. As a Memphis guy, as a Grizzlies fan, man, what do you think of what's happening there right now?
I think all the offseason moves that the Grizzlies have made is like an A+. I think they did a great job in the offseason. The addition of Jaren and Jevon. Is that how you pronounce it?
Javon.
I think they're going to be they fit the culture and the system with the Grizzlies. The grit and grind that some people think may have faded away, may have just flared up with those two guys. So I'm really excited about the direction the Grizzlies are headed. We'll see if they could put some pieces together.
As a big, as kind of a dynamic big and you know, that has played professionally, what do you think of Jaren, man? He just seems like a total next level type of player, like the type of player that's going to be the future of the NBA.
I think he's going to have, after his first or second year, I'm really excited to see how good he is. Not if he's good, I'm saying how good he is. Because we all know he's going to be good.
Right.
I mean, so – that's, you know, really exciting. But I see him off the court as being, you know, just a regular goofy guy. Yep. You know, I think one of his, I think like his avatar on Twitter or something is a Dragon Ball Z character or something like that. That mm-hmm. like that's I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. If you take care of your business on the court, hey man, more power to you.
What about a guy like Kobe Simmons? I mean, he's one of intrigue. This mm-hmm. This summer league. There's a bit of criticism on Kobe because he is a dynamic player who's, you know, fast. He can shoot, but it seemed like he kind of gave up some opportunities to share the ball. How would you assess kind of the way you think Kobe's played?
Well, you know what? I didn't really pay that much attention to the summer league.
Yeah,
but you know, from playing with him this past year, he's one of the fastest players that I've ever seen when he wants to be.
Yeah.
He's got a great feel for the ball. I mean, he's a great passer. It's all if he wants it, you know? So, I got all the confidence in the world in him. I think he's a really good ball player. So I'm rooting for him for sure. But I for sure hope he gets called up.
I guess as we kind of wrap up here, man, I want to switch gears just a little bit and ask you about some of these guys that the Tigers are going after. Because, I mean, we've got the kid here in Memphis who is pretty much the consensus number one player in the country in James Wiseman. What are your thoughts on him? Is he for real in your opinion?
I think he's for real, for real. You know what, man? And I think he's going to Memphis. That's just off a fan and a former player's opinion. I just can't see him going away from Penny. You know, he's staying here in the East one more year, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, that's great. And if you're DJ Jeffries and you decommit from Kentucky – that means you're only going to one school, in my opinion. That's what I'm thinking.
So. You bring up a great point. I mean, the fact that, you know, Chandler Lawson decided he was going to, you know, try to do something better, go to more of an elite, you know, school before college and in Oak Hill. And James decides, no, you know, East is where I want to be. I think that spoke volumes. Really showed that, you know what I mean, that James is seriously considers Memphis a place that he could see his career continuing.
I think he definitely considers Memphis for sure. I mean, you hit it right on the head. I mean, he's staying in Memphis. He's staying here. I think he's number one overall. I think his talent is through the roof. I'm just excited to see how this recruiting battle upholds against Penny and Cal, because if it's my opinion, I think it's going to be against Penny and Cal. Yeah. I mean, why would it not? You know,
I think you hurt Sudi's feelings a little bit because you said that DJ Jeffries was only going to decommit from Kentucky for one school.
Yeah.
And the Ole Miss fan over there, his heart hurt just a little bit.
Man. I said it.
I think as an Ole Miss alum, it would be cool to see DJ Jeffries play there. But hey, man, I cover the Memphis Tigers. It would be fantastic to cover them at either school, you know, whether it's Ole Miss or whether even if it's Mississippi State. You know what I mean? Get to cover them. I have more direct access to them at Memphis. You know, I would be able to interview them on a weekly basis and cover them on a weekly basis here. But any of the schools we cover, man, it'd be great to see him there.
Don't give me the company line, Sudi. It would hurt your feelings. The company line.
Chip came after me there. Chip came after me there. Austin, obviously, thank you so much for joining us, man. We hang out all the time. We talk. Like I said, we've been talking about doing this for so long, and it's so great to finally do this.
Man.
Before we let you go, dude, like, you got anything you want to say to anybody? You got any shout outs for maybe any exes or like any friends, like your parents?
Shout out to my parents, both of my sisters, my boy Jack Williams. Shout out to Aunt Betty, Oaks Landscaping, Bush Light.
And Fram Oil Filters, man.
Fram Oil Filter. But that's about it. Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on, man.
No, man, thank you. We'll have to do this again because we saved like 99% of all. So we just asked you all the generic stuff today. You know, we got some more cool stuff coming down the pipe. Dude, we really, really appreciate this. This was awesome. You're awesome for doing this.
Before you go, you want to shout out your social media? Where can people follow you? People that haven't maybe heard from you or heard about you in a while, man, that want to connect.
Yeah, man. Y'all can follow me on Twitter at @A_Nichols33. And on Instagram, hold on, let me check my Instagram. I forgot my name. It's Austin_Nichols4.
Well, as always, thank you guys so much for listening to The 5, a WMC Action News 5 sports podcast. You can follow WMC Action News 5 on Twitter at WMC Action News 5. Also, like us on Facebook. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Sudu Upadeo. Follow Chip at Chip Williams Jr. Is that right, Chip?
That is correct.
That is correct. And we apologize, by the way, for taking I think delayed it by a few days. Our couple guests that we had booked, or we were trying to book, that had genuine interest, could not make it. We are planning on having them in the future. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but let's just say they're pretty big in the college football media landscape.
We upgraded, though. We got a better guest than any of those suckers anyways, right?
We know it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you guys next time. Thanks to Austin.